plan to increase domestic spying with the use of this technology was previously mainly restricted to the Bush administration says it will be used to combat illegal immigration, natural disasters, and terrorism threats. The U.S. will This is the Quality News Network. On Wall Street today, stocks plunged more than 340 points in trading. We'll have the latest numbers coming up in our business block. In Miami today, a guilty verdict on all three counts was reached in the trial of Jose Padilla, who was charged with supporting Al-Qaeda. His two co-defendants were also found guilty on all the counts. In Peru, the massive earthquake that struck yesterday has killed at least 450 people, and that number is expected to go up. More than 1,500 people have been injured. The quake's magnitude registered 8.0, according to the USGS, which upgraded it from the earlier 7.9 magnitude. In Utah, 10 days after the mine collapse in Huntington, rescuers are hopeful after a sound was picked up by two geophones. They are now boring a fourth hole. Air samples will be studied from the third hole that was drilled in the mine. In Minnesota, rescuers have found human remains in two of four cars taken out of the wreckage of the I-35 West Bridge collapse. Two people are still listed as missing. So far, 11 people have been identified as killed in the disaster. The White House has approved a plan to increase domestic spying with the use of satellites and aircraft sensors. This technology was previously mainly restricted to foreign surveillance use. The Bush administration says it will be used to combat illegal immigration, natural disasters, and terrorism threats. The U.S. will give Israel a $30 billion military aid package, which is a 25% increase. The money covers a 10-year period, so it will be $3 billion a year. Tropical Storm Aaron hit Texas today, about 25 miles northeast of Corpus Christi. The storm was downgraded to a tropical depression, but has prompted flash flood watches in 33 counties through Friday. Residents of the Caribbean islands are preparing for Hurricane Dean, a possible Category 4 hurricane, which could bring 90-mile-an-hour winds. The heat wave that is gripping the South is responsible for at least 7 deaths in Memphis this past week. For the 6th day in a row, temperatures were in the triple digits yesterday. NASA will soon decide how to fix a 3.5-by-2-inch gash in the Space Shuttle Endeavour, which occurred after liftoff last week. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and Business News coming up next.
Here's good news about your money. Monterey County Bank has won the Bauer Financial 5-Star Superior Rating for financial strength and stability, making it one of the safest banks in Monterey County for your money. It's nice to know your money is in a safe place, but there are even more reasons to bank with Monterey County Bank. They now have 4 convenient locations in Carmel, Monterey, Carmel Valley, and Pacific Grove. And Monterey County Bank is the oldest locally owned bank, now celebrating its 30th anniversary serving you. Here's another important point. Local businesses have come to trust and rely on Monterey County Bank's position as the county's number one SBA small business lender. Safety, convenience, and local people you can trust. That's Monterey County Bank. Stop in at one of our 4 branches and find out why you can bank on us. Monterey County Bank, SBA preferred lender and equal housing lender, member FDIC.
The FDA is warning that children under age 2 should not be given over-the-counter cold medications unless a doctor has ordered it. The FDA is reviewing the drug's safety. A new study by Columbia University's National Center on Addiction and Substance Abuse finds that high school drug use is getting worse. 61% of teenagers now say they go to schools where there is a drug problem. That is up from 44% who responded that way in 2002. The Federal Reserve put $17 billion into the banking system today. The Commerce Department reports that new home construction in July dropped to the lowest level in more than a decade. It fell 6.1% last month. Countrywide, the nation's largest mortgage lender announced it had to borrow $11.5 billion. The leading credit ratings agency Moody's may downgrade the company's debt rating to the junk status. So far this year, Countrywide has lost 60% of its market value. The Labor Department reports that last week the number of workers who applied for jobless benefits went up to 322,000. Light sweet crude is trading at $70.99 a barrel, and on Wall Street this this hour, the Dow Jones is down 182 points at 12,679. The NASDAQ is down 40, while the S&P 500 is down 14. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
Have you ever...
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I'm already laughing because of what y'all are writing in the chat room. Now that my TV show has gotten a little bit more publicity, some of you are commenting on my haircut. You know, I'm not used to this. Hillary Clinton gets bugged for what she wears. I'm not used to such things, but thank you for your comments, everybody. After what a terrific show that Bob and I had yesterday. Really, really, it was a lot of fun. Frankly, 2 hours wasn't near enough, and so I think Bob and I have both committed to do this again with you sometime. And we'll bring on more people, too. Bob mentioned we need a Muslim last time. I think we should bring in a Buddhist, certainly bring in an atheist. Bob may actually fit that bill. He may actually be an atheist as well as a former Southern Baptist. Bring it all. I mean, Mormon, we will have the only interfaith dialogue, true interfaith dialogue that you've ever heard on radio. And anyway, it was such a good show, and it was so much fun that I, you know, figured I would talk some more about religion today, and I'm going to do that, I promise. And I just want to talk throughout this hour about where my ideals come from, because obviously some come from religion and some don't come from religion, and where your ideals come from, where your philosophy comes from, what makes you wake up in the morning, what makes you good. It was interesting yesterday how we sort of went from religion to that question of where compassion comes from. Some of you are arguing that you're kind of born compassionate. Others were saying, as I largely was, that that's something that it's a learned behavior. I actually think it's both. I think most human behaviors are both genetic and learned, and certainly compassion, I think, is something that can be taught by parents, by teachers, by friends, by family. And anyway, I want to get to all these religious issues, but before I do, you know, you can't hide from the news. That's what I do most of my shows. And so I got to talk about a few things. One thing I want to talk about is the surveillance programs. Now, I argued on this show back when few of you were listening, I argued when I first came on air 4 years ago that based on my work at the House Judiciary Committee, based on what I saw and heard working even as a minority counsel in Congress, that the government was spying on us big time, listening to our phone calls, tracking every single email, tracking our web usage, just tracking everything, actually. And I remember working on the first version of the USA Patriot Act, and yes, I did work on the first version of the USA Patriot Act. I even wrote a very small portion that's now no longer there that was included in the original version of the final act. And I've talked about this before, how the administration was insisting we do it their way. We said no. We worked with some well-meaning Republicans, and there are there are a few well-meaning Republicans. And we came up with a compromise bill where everyone from Maxine Waters on the far left to Lamar Smith on the far right could agree this was a careful balance to protect our country against terrorists and at the same time protect our civil liberties. As many of you know who've heard my story before, and I'm always happy to tell the full story if someone calls in and really wants to hear it, but as many of you know, that bill was substituted at the last minute with what became the USA Patriot Act, and we were given about an hour to read it. And my boss at the time, Barney Frank, to his credit, voted against it. So I can tell you more about that. But the heart of what I'm trying to say is that at that time, we were very careful. We had compromise. One of the compromises, for example, was that you couldn't check out where we're using our websites. We should have freedom to troll the web and go to wherever we want. My boss, Barney Frank, brought up if someone has a foot fetish, it's no one else's business where they go, what they do, that's part of a free country. And if you've ever read the book 1984, you know exactly what we fear. I mean, George Orwell, think about it. 1948, He wrote the book 1984. That's how I always remember when he wrote it, because he switched the two digits. So 60 years ago, George Orwell was saying we could have cameras that watch her every moment, that we could have a TV screen that watches what we do, that figures out what we do, that watches us every single moment. And what have we learned today? That's what the Bush administration is doing. They're sending those satellites in the sky, the one that gets us those cute Google pictures, and they're watching us. And they're watching us in a way that, frankly, East Germany and the Soviet Union, as much as they tried to watch every citizen, couldn't possibly do. And if you remember, Republicans said that we should be afraid of communism, wary of communism, and they were right. I'm no fan of the Soviet Union. But largely because they were taking away human freedom by watching what everyone was doing, and lo and behold, that's exactly what they're doing. They are monitoring where we go on the internet. They are going through satellite pictures. And frankly, the only safety we have as Americans is knowing that there's not possibly enough government bureaucrats to watch every single one of us. That's why when a caller like Dave, who has been listening to my show for I don't know how long, but many, many years now, says that he's personally being watched, you know, I don't really buy it, because I don't really know why Dave would be watched. He insists that he is being watched, but I can't deny the fact that a bunch of us are. So he may well be right. Who knows? But they are watching us. They're certainly watching me and Bob and everybody else. They have a file on each of us. I remember the 1990s when Bill Clinton apparently looked at, 100 people's FBI files, and the Republicans made a holy stink. Oh, my God, that's a terrible thing, and it may well have been a terrible thing. But 100 is much less than 100 million, and I suggest the Republicans are looking for more than that. You heard it, Quality News Network. This is just basic la-la-la-la-la. Government's watching us. La-la-la-la-la. They're monitoring everything we do. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. The Dow Jones went down today. You're being watched. And today, you know, there was the scandal over the dog fighting. Da 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 da. You're being watched. Oh, and by the way, Paris Hilton had a toenail fungus. We're being watched. I mean, I'm going to talk about religion because that's what I said I was going to talk about, and I'll get there. But I just want you to think about the fact that you're being watched, and where you've gone on the internet. And that was one of the things we specifically worked out in our compromise that we said they couldn't find out. They shouldn't be able to find out. If you want to track specific terrorist jihadist websites and find out who goes to them, fine. Fine. If you click on Al-Qaeda's website that teaches you how to make a bomb, I might be okay with it, though. After all, you might well be just be a journalist who's checking out to see what it is, right? I don't know. I do know this. The Fourth Amendment to the United States Constitution says the right of the people to be secure in their persons, papers, and effects shall not be violated, except with a warrant and probable cause and all those niceties in the Constitution that have dated more than 200 years. They're supposed to protect us, and that this data surveillance mining isn't. Now, if you've read the details between the lines of the AT&T case, you know that there's this in the Ninth Circuit, there's a case right now where apparently someone saw AT&T, good old AT&T, right? Take it to our corporations to protect American freedoms, was grabbing all the data from everybody's computers and funneling it to the government, checking out all our emails, finding out what we're doing. Apparently there's this secret seventh floor in the building. And when someone sued the government in San Francisco and said, hey, you know, they're monitoring us, the government went to court and said, we can't tell you whether or not we're spying on you. That's a violation of the state secrets privilege. So the judges on the Ninth Circuit, which, after all, is still a decent circuit, had two judges appointed by Bill Clinton, one appointed by Jimmy Carter, said, how can we know anything? And the government said, trust us. Trust us. Just trust us. And the court said, well, it can't just be just trust us. There has to be some sort of check and balance. We must have a legitimate role here. And the government said, go away. There's nothing to look at here. Go away. So when the government announces that it's doing surveillance through the satellite, that it's only doing it to stop illegal immigrants, yeah, right. Yeah, right. If that's all they're doing, then why are they so afraid of court oversight? Why are they so afraid of congressional oversight? Tell me why. Meanwhile, more data has come out about John Ashcroft when he was sick in bed. You know James Comey's story. I was talking about it a lot. Well, now they have Mueller's notes. Way to go, Democratic Congress, the House Judiciary Committee, the former committee on which I served, has gotten the notes of FBI Director Robert Mueller. Now, of course, they've been heavily edited, and a lot of stuff has been cut out and deleted. Certainly all of FBI Director's conversations with the White House, where he told President Bush, if you don't stop breaking the law, I and the 50 of us at the top of the government are all going to quit and say you're acting, you know, like a dictator. Yeah, that was taken out. But what was in the notes? Well, John Ashcroft was, quote, barely articulate, unquote, feeble, quote, unquote, and clearly stressed, quote, unquote, when asked to sign the program that was lawless. Here's a real kicker. This is one of my favorite little details. The little details that just tell you everything you need to know about what's going on in our White House. To me, you know, you talk about a little detail that just explains everything. Listen to this. Alberto Gonzalez, the White House counsel, the guy who's trying to persuade the feeble, barely articulate, clearly stressed John Ashcroft to sign this thing. We should note, by the way, that this was literally the day after his gallbladder surgery, okay? This isn't like he's been there a week. The day after his gallbladder surgery, when he was, quote, in no condition to receive visitors, unquote. But here's the kicker. Here's the cute detail. Listen up to this. So Gonzalez is trying to trick this man who just underwent gallbladder surgery and is barely articulate and feeble into violating hundreds of millions of Americans' constitutional rights. And listen to this. This is great. Gonzalez didn't know what was in the order that he was asking Ashcroft to sign. Direct quote, New York Times today, quote, at one point in a meeting with Mr. Mueller, the notes show, Mr. Gonzalez said that even he was barred from getting as much information as he wanted about the highly classified eavesdropping program because of strict White House secrecy rules. So Loyal Fredo, the president's puppy dog, is trying to get an extremely sick, feeble, stressed, barely articulate, no longer in charge attorney general who just had gallbladder surgery the previous day to overrule the acting attorney general, James Comey, to violate hundreds of millions of Americans' constitutional rights, and he doesn't even know what he's getting him to sign. There's something just beautifully, wonderfully, horribly evil about that. Who is in charge here? Do you really think George Bush wrote the thing? Who wrote the law, the executive order? It wasn't anyone in the Justice Department. Number one, Attorney General John Ashcroft said it's illegal. Number two, James Comey said it's illegal. Number three, Ted Olson, the man that had the United States Supreme Court overrule the American people in 2000 who voted for Al Gore, even Ted Olson said this was illegal, as did the director of the FBI. Who wrote the thing? Was it Dick Cheney? Our good friend Karl Rove? David Addington? Stephen Hadley? It wasn't Gonzalez. He was just the guy who was on the mission. He wasn't even allowed to read it. Come on, look, Fredo, good boy, Fredo. Don't read the documents, Fredo. Just get them to sign them. Trick them into signing them. Whatever you can do, but don't read them. You don't need to know it. You don't matter. That little detail, the New York Times today, that just says everything. As I said, there's a certain beauty to its evilness. I'm going to repeat that just for fun, just so you get the point, just so it's 150% clear. New York Times today, check it out online. Quote, at one point in a meeting with Mr. Mueller, the notes show, Mr. Gonzalez said that even he was barred from getting as much information as he wanted about the highly classified eavesdropping program because of strict White House secrecy rules. Wow. Now we seem to find out that this was all data mining. Searching large volumes of records of telephone calls and email messages. As I said, I reported it 4 years ago. We also heard, and I will get to religion, I promise, in the last half of the hour, and I know some of you want to talk about this, and that's okay, too. 877-4-HEAD-ON. Dave actually is on the line holding, and I know he's going to want to talk about the government spying on him, and we'll get to him, too. But I need to mention Jose Padilla's conviction today. They convicted Jose Padilla. Bob telling me I need to take a break? I hear music in the background. I don't know. Is it break time? Let's skip the break. Let's just go on to the half hour. Let me just talk about Jose Padilla, because this is the guy that the administration told the entire country was the dirty bomber. And let's be clear what the dirty bomber is. The charge was that Jose Padilla was going to detonate a nuclear bomb in a suitcase in an American city. Talk about scary, right? Hiroshima in a suitcase. This man was absolute enemy number one. Number one half, if we have one. I mean, he was going to create Hiroshima in a suitcase. We have to give all power and all civil liberties and everything up to this government, lest Jose Padilla wipe out an American city in a suitcase. So of course they have to hold him without a trial. Of course they have to hold him without a lawyer. Of course they have to hold him forever. Of course they can't give any of their secrets up. Yes, he's an American citizen. Yes, he's from Chicago. But by God, we've got to protect America from a nuclear war caused by one man in a suitcase. Well, the court said, and there are still some decent judges out there, increasingly few, which is why we need another Democrat in office, but the court said, you know what, he's an American citizen. He has a right to habeas corpus. He has a right under the Constitution to ask the government to say why he's in jail. Okay? And so finally, after 4 years of legal wrangling, they finally took the guy to trial. And what did they do? They charged him with conspiring with terrorists. And lo and behold, he was found guilty. Now, you know, I don't know that it was necessarily a fair trial. I don't know all the details, frankly, of what they allow his lawyers to do and what they didn't do. But you know what? It was a trial. And assuming he got due process, and I know that's a big assumption, so we'll hold that aside for now. But assuming he got due process, he was found guilty. He may get a life sentence. Fine. This was never about Jose Padilla. If he's guilty of conspiring with terrorists to hurt anybody, throw him in jail. Lock him up for life. Throw away the key. I don't care. Bye-bye, Jose. But this was so damn obvious 4 years ago. Why didn't they try him then? And did you notice there was no charge of any radiological weapon? Whatever happened to that nuclear bomb in a suitcase that they tried to scare us all into giving up our civil liberties about? Was that just a ruse to get the USA Patriot Act and the secret surveillance and everything all over us? I'll get to religion, but I just, if you want to comment on this subject, please do. 877-4 head on. I mentioned Dave on air, so he has absolute right to talk back. Dave, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hey, Mark. Yes, I am the Dave in question, and I am not a big fish, so one would have to ask the question, how does Dave end up with high-tech Fed goons all over his computer 24/7? And I think it calls for an explanation, and I'll give it if you'd like.
Go ahead.
I learned that if a big crooked corporation wants to rip off their clients, they have to put big money in the Democratic Party and big money in the Republican Party, and both will turn their back and allow the company to do it with no accountability. And I was amazed at learning that. But the company in question with me was Travelers Express, but I found that Dell Computer and several banks and Allstate Insurance, several companies do this. Anyway, the Travelers Express did business all over the world, so I took the time to send an email to world leaders all over the place, prime ministers, members of parliament, consumer affairs bureaus, and whatnot. Most of them took my message seriously. Most of them called for an investigation. Several asked for the Attorney General's office to look into it. Several asked for the FBI to look into my charges. So I have never been alone on a computer since. They want me to have no further contact with any of my newfound friends in Parliament or anywhere. So that's how it happened. And it goes back pre-9/11. It goes back pre-Bush. This has been going on apparently for some time. I don't know how long it's been, but big crooked corporations, if they pay for the right to rip you off, they get away with it.
I'll tell you this, Dave. One of the things that I'm glad to see is that you are free to speak out on this show. Sometimes I know you try to write on the blog, and whenever it doesn't go through, you say it's the people who are spying on you. I have to tell you, some of that is limitations of my blog, and just so you know and everyone knows, because I get so much spam at RadioInsideScoop.com. I mean, literally, I get it's amazing. I get about 1,000 pieces of spam an hour on that website. Now, I do have a program that whittles away most of it. But then even the ones it doesn't whittle away, basically what I've done to protect myself is most spammers want to put a link on there. They want to put a link on there so it shows up in their Google site and so forth, so that you go and buy their Viagra or cars or pills or whatever it is. So if you post a link on my site, it has to go through me personally, before it shows up. So if you want to write something and there's no link, it'll show up. Sometimes it may take a minute or two, but be patient. It'll be there. If you put a link on there, I don't hate you. I'm not trying to censor you. It just means I need to check to make sure you're legitimate and you're talking about some subject that relates to politics. I don't care whether you agree with me or not, but if you try to sell Viagra on my site, you're going
to
be deleted. So that's why sometimes when you post a link, Dave, and you're not the only one, people are like, what are you doing? Are you censoring me? I'm not. I'm just going through and making sure it's not spam.
Well, I have to admit something to you, and that is I have so much harassment from these goons that I forget there are such things as computer glitches and normal things that can happen. But
right. So I know it happens and you say that's why I respond to Dave and let him know. But let me tell you, Dave, I appreciate your listening. And frankly, the surveillance is a major problem. And frankly, I don't think it's going to end until we get this guy out of the White House. It's really scary because, as I said, the Soviet Union, East Germany, they had nothing compared to what these people are doing right now. And I don't doubt there's a file on most of us. You know, people don't even realize in Mississippi during the Civil Rights era, until as late as 1973, the state government was keeping files on more than 10% of its citizens. I mean, again, we talk about East Germany and the Soviet Union as if these totalitarian governments are an anomaly and awful, and, well, of course we had to do the Cold War. And, you know, fine, condemn East Germany and Soviet Union all you want. I'll agree. But we need to also look at home and see what our own government's doing.
You know, it has nothing to do with al-Qaeda. It has everything to do with being a political, outspoken opponent that gets you under the surveillance. They
absolutely.
Powers.
We know, for example, they were spying on Quakers in Vermont, a women's group of Quakers in Vermont. Now, correct me if you think I'm bonkers, but I just don't think that a Quakers who believe in pacifism, who believe in complete nonviolence, I just don't think they're harboring an al-Qaeda cell in Vermont.
No,
I just don't think so. But I'll tell you what they are doing.
Criminal government, though.
Well, what they're doing, of course, is they're condemning our government and its war, and so they had to be watched. Dave, thanks for calling in. I hope I didn't hope you didn't consider this an insult.
Nope, I didn't.
Okay. Terrific. Thanks again for calling in. I will promise to get back to religion, although if you want to call in and talk about surveillance or Padilla or constitutional rights, those things are always welcome. We're going to finally take that break I skipped. 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. Call in to talk about surveillance, Padilla, or religion, because we're getting to religion right after the break.
This is the Head-On Radio Network.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at headonradionetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
Headonradionetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at headonradionetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. I've been following infringements on our civil liberties since about 9/12, but here's a new one I hadn't known about, though I suppose we all should have suspected it, and that's the fact that the government may be flying a U-2 spy plane right now over the United States of America. That's right, we're the enemy now. As Tim Shorrock reported last week in Salon, a little-known wing of the national security system here called the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency actually already deployed a U-2 over the U.S., during Katrina. According to Shorrock, its job now is to supply overhead imagery and mapping tools to the military, the CIA, and other intelligence agencies, including the NSA. In fact, the NSA has an agreement with the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency to share resources, staff, and something called exploitation techniques. In its own words, the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency allows horizontal integration between the two agencies, so they'll be working together from start to finish, using NGA's eyes and NSA's ears. Now that's a cheery prospect, isn't it? Not only can the government listen in on our conversations and grab our emails, it can also track us from the skies. When it comes to spying on Americans here at home, the sky is no longer the limit. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head-On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time on the Head-On Radio Network.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I did promise I would talk about religion today. I just, you know, as I read about Jose Padilla and the government surveillance, and I think to myself, you know, I talked about this 4 years ago. No disrespect to Bob Kincaid, but that was before there was a Head-On Radio Network and before there was Air America or anything. It's just a little suburban station out there in
in suburban Washington and Leesburg, Virginia, and you know, it's amazing how far we haven't come since then, and how the Democratic Party and liberals still apparently don't see the value of talk radio, despite the incredible power of Rush Limbaugh. Did you notice that Dick Cheney keeps going up on Rush Limbaugh's show, and you know, Bush gets interviewed by Cavuto, and you know, people pretend that they're real journalists. I want to get back to religion, though, because you've probably read of the greatest death toll, I think, in a single day in Iraq, as Sunnis, I guess, are trying to kill a sect of Kurds called Yazidis. I don't claim to understand all these religious differences, but I have no doubt that, as Bob and I talked about yesterday, religious can be very dangerous, and religious differences can be very dangerous, and they can lead to, you know, a lot of misery, a lot of killing. But at the same time, I think we have to ask ourselves, where does our morality come from? Where does religion come from? What can we do to minimize these religious differences? I mean, and what do religions all have in common? Because I think if you listen to the greater notions inherent in most decent, long-standing world religions, there wouldn't be religious wars. And so, look, you're not going to end religion, folks, okay? You know, if you're an atheist, fine. Good for you. I just did a show a few weeks ago. I had an atheist on my show. We talked about the fact that the only people less likely to get elected as president than gay people are atheists. Apparently, you know, while 90% will vote for a woman and 92% will vote for a black person and 90% will vote for a Jewish person, and only 55% will vote for a gay person. 55%, God. Only 55% will vote for a gay man or lesbian woman for president. I guess that, but that's gone up. It's gone up. Heck, only 30% would vote for a Jew in the 1930s. But 45% would vote for an atheist. Less than half of all Americans would even consider voting for someone who doesn't believe in God, as if that were any way relevant to their policies. So I had her on the air, and we talked about atheism, and look, some of my best friends are atheists, too. Throw out a term often used when talking about prejudice. I should tell you this, a good friend of mine, I won't say his name, but he's gay, and his sister married an atheist. And his fundamentalist Christian parents were very upset that he was gay, but more upset that his sister married an atheist, and extremely upset by their grandchild not getting a biblical education, so much so they keep trying to slip in Bible stories and passive-aggressive birthday presents. But I'm getting off topic. Here's my point. No matter how much you fulminate against religion, and I respect all that Bob said yesterday, I really do, Look, I don't claim to have his background, but I did grow up in Nashville, Tennessee, and I have some knowledge of what he's talking about, okay? I'm not, you know, wasn't born yesterday, and yes, I've had people try to convert me more times than I can count. As I said yesterday, I kind of enjoy it, but I recognize that most people don't, and frankly, I think I only enjoy it because that's sort of part of my personality, is I like to argue with people I disagree with. Plus, I have the information, and there are lots of people don't, and I'm not at all advocating proselytizing people who are unwilling. But here's my point. Bob is fulminating rightly against religion, but we're not going to end religion in this world, okay? People need it. People like it. It does provide community. It does. Most religions provide a moral message. Many provide an immoral message as well. But at their best, most religions provide a moral message. Most provide some version of the golden rule, Leviticus 18, love thy neighbor as thyself. So it seems to me that instead of arguing that religion is all bad, get rid of religion, that the better way to approach this practically, politically, because we got to work with the 90-plus percent of Americans that believe in some sort of critter, as Bob puts it, some sort of invisible critter, is to co-opt religion, to use the best aspects of religion, to argue religion to the religious. And I do that all the time. Heck, I'm not even Christian. But when I hear American family, blah, 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 so-called organization, talk about capital gains, tax cuts, or whatever, I quote Jesus to them. Easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than a rich man to enter heaven. I even had one person say to me, "You can't say that. You're not Christian." I certainly can. One of the benefits of being open-minded, whether you're Jewish or atheist or Buddhist or anything else, is that you can quote from anybody. Isn't that nice? I can quote from Gandhi and mean it. And I can quote from Martin Luther King, and I can quote from Muhammad, and I can quote from Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, as I did yesterday, because an informed human being, an intelligent human being, can approach all these disciplines. I can quote from science, I can quote from philosophy. I am not so limited. And one of the big things that I complain about fundamentalists of any faith, including my own faith, absolutely, is that they are limited. They have blinders on. They have all answers and no questions. So my argument is, pick your friends, okay? But if you want to fulminate against fundamentalists, fine, I'll join with you. If you want to stop the encroaching, ending, you know, diminishing the wall of separation of church and state, I'm not only there with you. This is a battle I've fought hard, personally, and had some victories on. Like I said, if you want to call in, I will tell you how I played a major role in personally defeating the faith-based initiative. I'm very proud of that. As I said, it's probably the single most effective thing I did in my years in Congress. And I didn't get heralded for it, and I'm not looking for praise here. What I'm looking to let you know is that I'm putting my hands where my mouth is. Okay? I do work to stop the encroaching. Encroaching? Is that a word? Where am I looking for? The erosion, I should say. Encroaching erosion, I think is what I'm trying to say. The encroaching and erosion of the separation of church and state. I've worked hard on that. But I really don't want to alienate liberal Christians, the great majority of American Jews, moderate Muslims, Buddhists, Wiccans, Hindus, Shintos, people who practice animal sacrifice. I don't care. As long as they act humanely toward their fellow human being, they can believe whatever they want. If my neighbor wants to believe that the Babylonian god Marduk created the universe, fine. As long as Marduk doesn't tell him to shoot me, I'm okay with it. As long as he doesn't force our kids to learn it in the public school, I'm okay with it. Teach whatever you want in our church as long as you don't teach your kids to come after me or anybody else. That's why I am allowed to say the churches are wrong to teach hatred of gay people, because they're hurting somebody else. That's why it's perfectly fine for me to say it's wrong for churches to teach that abortion should be illegal, you know, leading women to really harm themselves with coat hangers and keeping them from having sex and so forth. If they're restricting other people's actions, laws against dance, then I got a problem with it. It's really a very simple moral question. If your church teaches don't dance, then God love you, that's your church. If your church teaches you not to dance and not to drink, that's your church. Believe in it. Fine. You don't have to dance. I don't care if you dance. You can dance if you want to. You can leave your friends behind. Because if your friends don't, never mind. You can do whatever you want to do. Dance or don't dance. Drink or don't drink. Fine. But the second you try to pass a law saying I can't drink or I can't dance or I can't gamble or anything else that doesn't harm anybody else. Yes, and I know drinking can harm your families and gambling can harm your families. And I really don't know how dancing harms people, but I'll have to think about that. Peter Godbold may know. I don't know. But at the end of the day, we have to be responsible for ourselves. And that's the distinction I make. If you want to go out and say, stop religion, controlling our laws, controlling our state, stop children from proselytizing other children, stop, you know, leave our public schools alone, get religion out of science, I'm with you 150%. And I talk about it. I mean, those of you who've listened to my show know I'm 150% on board. But here's, I guess, what I don't want to do. And it's a fine distinction. If people want to believe in a little invisible critter, as Bob would put it, and I think that's hilarious, that helps distinguish them from right and wrong, and they want to call that critter God, Jesus, Muhammad, Marduk, Jupiter, Xena the warrior, an invisible rabbit named Harvey, I don't care. Whatever gets you through the day. Agnes was saying this very well. I'm going to give some props to Annie for last night. I thought she said this really, really well. She said, if it gets you through the day, it gets you through the day. I'm not going to take away anybody's crutch. If they're not harming me, I'm not going to harm them. I always thought, and yes, this comes from my own religious tradition, that Rabbi Hillel put the golden rule best. Yes, Leviticus 18 says, love thy neighbor as thyself. But that's really hard to do. It's very hard to love someone else as yourself. Rabbi Hillel said something that's a lot more practical. He simply turned it upside down. He said, when asked, what is the Torah? When a person came up to him, the story goes, and I'll give you the full story because it's a good one. And I'll get to the callers too. Hang on, callers. I'll get to you, I promise. There's a famous story that a man came in to the great Rabbi Shammai and said, teach me the entire Torah, the entire Bible, all of Jewish law, all of Jewish teaching. Teach me the entire thing while I stand here on one foot. And he meant it as a joke. He meant it as, you know, it's ridiculous. There's too many laws. There's too much. There's no way you could teach me the entire Bible while I stand here on one foot. And Shammai said, you know, you're mocking me. Get the heck out of here. So he went to Rabbi Hillel and said, Rabbi Hillel, teach me the entire Torah while I stand on one foot. And Hillel said, what is hurtful to you, don't do to your neighbors. That's the entire Torah. The rest is commentary. Now go study. Hillel took the challenge. The challenge was, could you boil all of Jewish teaching, all of the law, all of the religion down to a simple thing? Yes, you can. Now there's a lot more to it. Go study. But loving thy neighbor as thyself, that's hard to do. But it's much easier simply to say, don't do to your neighbor what you wouldn't want done to you. If you don't want someone to control your life, don't control their life. If you don't want someone to tell you what to do with your own body, don't tell someone else what to do with their body. If you don't want someone choosing who your sex partner is or who your life partner is, if you don't want someone else choosing your husband or wife for you, don't choose someone else's husband or wife. If you don't want someone else telling you whether or not to have a baby, don't tell another woman whether or not to have a baby. If you don't want restrictions on gambling or dancing or drinking, and again, they're different things. You may enjoy drinking but hate gambling. As long as it's not harming anyone else, don't restrict it. Because if you're harming someone else, then you're restricting their freedom. So yes, I support laws against drinking and driving. And I support laws saying, you know, maybe there's a certain minimum that you have to provide to your children. You can't gamble it all away. That's okay with me. Because you're harming someone else. It's really, I don't know, it's amazing to me that most of morality, good old Rabbi Hillel, could put down in a very simple thing. Do what you want. Have as much freedom as you want. Just don't hurt anybody. As Bob said yesterday, it's all the truth they taught us in kindergarten, right? Share your toys. Don't take someone else's. Do whatever you want. Sing, dance, play. Just don't take away someone else's freedoms. And that, to me, is the huge distinction in religion I would make. If religion isn't out to take away my freedoms or the freedoms of any other American, believe in whatever creed you want, and I will support your right to do that. Okay, got a bunch of callers on the line. Alan, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Yes. Yes, it seems to me that one of the most dangerous beliefs of our society is the belief that there is a fall in the Garden of Eden and we're all corrupt and we all need to be corrected. And I hope that Jewish people do not believe that way, or maybe not all of them.
No, they don't. That's the concept of original sin. Let me explain. And I don't know where the Christians got this, frankly. It may be from Zoroastrianism. It's a great thing to check out. But if you read Genesis, and heck, my people wrote it, particularly if you read it in the original Hebrew, but it's very simple. There's nowhere in Genesis is there original sin. It ain't there. What it says in Genesis, as I understand the story of the Garden of Eden, frankly, I think it's a very beautiful story when understood correctly. Prior to eating from the tree, and what was the tree? People don't remember the name of the tree. It wasn't an apple, it was a fruit. And what was the fruit from? The tree of knowledge of good and evil. Christians never seem to remember the name of the tree. The forbidden, sometimes they even call it the forbidden tree. It was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And so what does Eden tell us? It tells us that prior to human beings having a brain, and this fits whether you believe in evolution or not, I certainly do, but it fully fits with evolution. Prior to us developing a brain that could think and that could reason and that could determine right and wrong, we were animals. And what do? Animals, they eat, they drink, they copulate, they sleep, they defecate. They are animals. They do what they do by instinct. Animals eat other animals. They have no knowledge of good and evil. Okay, they may do, and I know that we can argue about there's some compassion in animals, and I would argue actually that compassion evolves. And so I'm not saying there's no compassion in animals, but in general, you have to get to a certain knowledge, a certain intelligence. I mean, mentally retarded people, you know, we have less. We shouldn't put them in jail for crimes when they can't understand the difference between right and wrong. That's actually a law. It's a law that says it's not always followed. But if a person can't understand the difference between right and wrong, if when they pulled that, you know, gun, they thought they were actually peeling a banana, if that can be shown, then you don't put them in jail. You put them in a mental institution. You protect the rest of the country from them, but you don't punish them because they don't know right from wrong. And to me, what the Garden of Eden, this basic human story, is that when you don't know right from wrong, you can't really do wrong, you live your life, you eat, you drink, you have no morality, you have no free will, you're not human. You're just an animal or a mentally retarded person, you live by instinct, you can't be judged, you aren't good, you aren't evil, you are simply not a thinking actor. To me, what the Garden of Eden says is once you eat from the knowledge of good and evil, and you do it from your own free will, man disobeyed God, right? But the point is that people choose to have knowledge. They choose to be human. They choose to be larger and greater and more thoughtful than animals. Once you have that knowledge of good and evil, then you can act. And then you can be good and you can be evil. Jews do not believe that a child is born evil. They also, by the way, don't believe a child is born good. They believe a child is born as a blank slate with having eaten from the tree. We've all eaten from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and it's our job, and there's a reason why it's the first people, Adam and Eve, that get this. Because they're arguing that every single parent of every single child has a job to do, and that is to teach their children the difference between good and evil. So that, if you will, is the original sin. It's not a sin of, you know, we're bad people and should be punished. It's, if you will, the sin of knowledge. Once you have chosen to know, you have responsibility to yourself, to your fellow human beings, to choose between good and evil, and it is our job as society to teach future generations between good and evil. And to me, and we're banished from the Garden of Eden because it ain't so easy anymore. It's easy not to make moral choices. It's very easy to live in Eden and just worry about eating and sleeping and defecating and copulating. It's very easy to do that. And there are people that try to abandon their moral choices. And they're trying to live in Eden, but we don't live in Eden anymore. There is pain, there is reality, there is death, there are problems to deal with. And we, with our knowledge of good and evil, have to do that. And to me, that's a beautiful story. And it kills me to see how this beautiful parable, because it is a parable, I certainly don't believe there was one man and one woman, I believe in evolution. But this parable is vital to the human condition, and it's amazing to me how our story has gotten corrupted into original sin. And now so I'll get off like my soapbox and let you talk, parable. Alan. Go ahead.
So it's a parable like a change of consciousness from one way of thinking to the other, or
exactly
duality.
I see it from when we go from animal to human. That's exactly right. And
or
and
duality
with,
to non-duality, from what I've heard.
I agree. I think it's exactly right. I think it goes from a living as an animal. And to me, that's why it's perfectly compatible with evolution. In fact, it makes sense as evolution. We began as one-celled, you know, creatures who knew nothing and couldn't think for ourselves. But once that magical change came, where we actually could reason and actually could make moral choices, comes responsibility, comes hardship, comes comes blame. And it also comes free will. And Jews passionately believe that human beings have free will. Even if you heard what I talked about Tikkun Olam yesterday, you have free will. You can phrase it as free will to obey God or not obey God. You could phrase it as free will to help the earth or to not help the earth. But we have free will, and animals really don't. Again, you could argue, you know, dogs and dolphins maybe have more than ants and bees. But the point is that the higher evolved consciousness you have, the smarter you are, the more you're responsible for your moral choices. And to me, I think it's a brilliant story and a powerful philosophy in the Garden of Eden. And I don't knock the story at all. I just knock those that abuse it.
Okay. Well, thanks. I like your answer.
Thank you for asking the question. I'm glad you did. Let's go to Michelle, my friend in California. Michelle, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
I'm kind of making this a habit this week. Anyway,
I'd love to have it. I'd keep it. I'm a good habit. Hopefully, this is a good drug for you.
Except for the domestic duties, they fail. Anyway, I'm calling because I sent you also, since you're back on religion, I sent
yes.
you a video, Rapture Ready. You have to watch
okay.
it. Max Blumenthal went in.
I hope you posted it on my blog, too, right?
I don't think so.
Okay,
so.
Post it on my blog, because this should just be about you and me, Michelle. We got to share with others, right? Share our toys.
Oh, okay.
Post
okay.
it on the
well,
blog so
that
everyone can hear what you're talking about. But go ahead, tell us about it.
Okay, what it is, and I'm going to read it, because it's on YouTube. It's Max Blumenthal's latest take. Takes us on a shocking and, at times, bizarre tour of right-wing pastor John Hagee. Annual Washington Israel Summit. Okay, this is the Christians United for Israel tour.
You know, I think Bob sent me this. I did a show. I don't know if you heard
that?
It, Michelle. There was a reporter that got in and got thrown out of the convention, right, and was asking about what's going to happen to the Jews
and
the other day.
Great. I mean, he's done a lot of other things. And the facts that are disturbing, Mark, I agree that everyone has the right to practice whatever religion they want. The facts that are disturbing are the movements and the political empowerment of these movements via those in power utilizing the ignorance of these religious radicals. And I and the radicals 2 years ago wouldn't seem so radical if they weren't so involved with the government,
but see, that's the distinction I was trying to make, Michelle. That's exactly the distinction I was trying to make. Believe whatever you want to believe, just don't push it on anybody else.
Well, and I hear that, but you know, the problem is, Mark. The problem is that we're past that point. Now we're at the point that it's like, hey, we've tried to be upfront and allow you to have, you know, whatever you believe, but now we have to stand against it as a divide. And as I said the other day or yesterday, the think tanks know this. People didn't just go, well, let's divide the country, you know, by using, you know, the religious radicals against the more liberals. I mean, they've been doing this for years and slowly propping it up, and they've been studying what the effects are socially. And the fact of trying to be open-minded to everyone, I mean, you just made mention, and I know it's because of your culture, but you're the chosen people. I mean,
I didn't say it on this program.
No, you didn't say chosen people, but you said my people were the ones.
Yeah.
And see, we cannot divide. There is only one human race.
I'm running out of time, Michelle. Call. I'll tell you what. I want you to call back. I want to continue this.
I will.
I'm literally running out of time, and this is a great issue, and I don't have time to explain in 30 seconds the whole concept of the chosen people and so forth.
Yes.
But let me just quickly wrap up by saying that I have said that I take wisdom wherever I can find it, whether it comes from my people or any others, and I welcome anyone to do the exact same thing with anything else. And at the end of the day, I want to separate those who are just believing what they want to believe and those that would force others to do it. Thank you, Michelle. Thank you, Bob.
Bye, Mark.
I got to go. I'm out of time. This is Mark Levine signing off.
This is the Quality News Network. On Wall Street today, stocks plunged more than 340 points in trading, then turned around. We'll have the closing numbers coming up in our business block. In Miami, a guilty verdict on all three counts was reached in the trial of Jose Padilla, who was charged with supporting Al-Qaeda. His two co-defendants were also found guilty on all of the counts. In Peru, the massive earthquake that struck yesterday has killed at least 450 people, and that number is expected to go up. More than 1,500 people have been injured. The quake's magnitude registered 8.0, according to the USGS. Its epicenter was 125 miles southeast of Lima, the capital. There have been several strong aftershocks. In Utah, 10 days after the mine collapse in Huntington, rescuers are hopeful after a sound was picked up by two geophones. They are now boring a fourth hole in the mine. Air samples will be studied from the third hole that was drilled. In Minnesota, rescuers have found human remains in two of four cars taken out of the wreckage of the I-35 West Bridge collapse. Two people are still listed as missing. So far, including this discovery, 11 people have been identified as killed in the disaster. Three U.S. Navy sailors are missing off the North Carolina-Virginia coast after their Navy plane crashed during exercises last night. Search and rescue missions are underway in the Atlantic Ocean. The White House has approved a plan to increase